Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, we love to find unusual, interesting interviews, and I think this is going to be exceptional. I don't think I'm going to be disappointed. We'll give him his full title. It's Daniel Bresner, and we've got a book here called Theories of International Politics and Zombies. Daniel, I'll call you Dan, shall I?
Shoot, please.
Smash him. Now, tell us who you are, first of all, before we talk about this book with the most unbelievable title.
Well, I think any title, by the way, is improved by just adding the words and zombies to the end. You know, War and Peace and zombies, Romeo and Juliet and zombies. You know, you can go on for there. I'm a professor of international politics at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. I've, you know, taught and written a lot about international relations over the years. But you know what? I realized there was a gap in the literature. No one had addressed how different theories of international politics, how what they predict would happen if, in fact, you know, the dead started rising from the grave and tried to eat the living.
Why did you even think of this?
This started actually because of another somewhat serious paper written by a group of biomathematicians at Carleton University called When Zombies Attack. They treated zombies as basically a typical disease pandemic, and based on the traits of how zombies work, asked what would happen. And they came to the shocking conclusion that unless the zombies were knocked out very, very early, human civilization as we know it would end. And so this paper, you know, gathered a lot of attention, and I read it. And there was no politics in it. It was a very good paper, but it sort of assumed that zombies would effortlessly cross borders. It didn't take into account, you know, the variety of government responses, whether or not there would be multilateral cooperation to stop the zombies, or whether states would turn on each other. So I began to think, well, maybe it would be interesting to figure out how these different theories would predict would happen. And I blog at foreignpolicy.com, Foreign Policy Magazine. I wrote this up as a blog post, and it generated a fair amount of traffic. And it occurred to me that your average 18-year-old in the United States, unfortunately, knows a lot more about zombies than they do about international relations theory. So this was a great way to sort of teach them the various theories.
Interesting point you made, because if you think of it, with every horror film, with every ghost, ghoul, we've never had zombies ever had a horror film about them coming back and becoming politicians.
That's true. That's true. Some would argue maybe there are real-life zombies out there. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of the photos of Muammar Gaddafi recently, but, you know, there are other people that would, you know, assume be accused of being real-life zombies. But you're right. No one is – the zombie politician is not a common one in the film genre. You're right.
As somebody who deals in politics, as somebody who's a professor, did this not undermine you by giving this title to it?
Let me put it this way. I think the book serves two purposes. The first is that it actually causes people who otherwise wouldn't necessarily think all that much about international relations but actually know something about zombies or think it's funny to, almost despite themselves, learn something. And in fact, I've talked to a number of people who really don't care all that much about international relations but say they've read the book and actually learned a fair amount about world politics in the process. At the same time, it does function as something of a satire of my sort of academic specialty. And I think there are ways in which sometimes satire is a more effective critique of ways in which we have to improve our discipline than actually just sort of a straight-on, non-humorous take. So I think in that sense, I'm perfectly happy to take the risk that I'm making light of certain aspects of my discipline because there might be certain aspects of my discipline that are worthy of mocking.
Have any politicians read it?
I can neither confirm nor deny that. I can tell you that there is at least one copy of the book in the West Wing of the White House.
Ah. Now tell me, you imagine a world overrun with zombies, is that right?
Well, I imagine what would happen if, in fact, the zombies were to rise up. One of the things I actually conclude, and this made me very optimistic, I wasn't anticipating this going in, is that most zombie movies, if you watch them, you know, they follow a very similar script, which is in minute one, the zombies emerge, and by minute 10, you're already in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. The conclusion I came to from a survey of the sort of international relations theories that we know is that, in fact, most of these theories predict that human civilization would do a decent job of surviving, that the great powers, as we conventionally understand them, would likely be able to quell the rise of the undead. There's a lot lot of the rest of the world that would be in serious trouble if the zombie spread were to go global. And in that sense, zombies are in many ways like other kinds of pandemics and or natural disasters, in that generally speaking, the strong will be able to survive and the weak suffer much more seriously.
Now, the conspiracy theorists that would be listening to this program now would—they all say there is a bigger being that runs the world. There is a sinister group of people that run the world. First of all, I'll ask you what your theory is on that, and also then, could there be zombies?
Well, in terms of whether or not there is a sinister conspiracy theory running the world, there is no doubt that if zombies were going to emerge, you know it would not take very long for people to start accusing probably the CIA of being responsible for the creation of a zombie industrial complex that would, you know, be causing the spread of the undead and being used for tactical reasons. And so that would lead to a serious undercutting of international cooperation, that the moment zombies emerge, there would immediately be all these accusations of who is responsible for them. And unfortunately, you've seen this in the past when other infectious diseases have emerged. In the case of Africa, for example, a lot of people have accused, you know, the United States of being responsible for the AIDS virus. And indeed, in the United States, there's a lot of sort of wild-eyed accusations about where they're coming from as well. So unfortunately, I think zombies would just sort of feed into these kinds of conspiracy theories. As to whether or not zombies actually would exist, you know, in the book I argue that even if there's just an infinitesimal chance of their existence, you know, if you go back to what former Vice President Dick Cheney said, he argued that the U.S. had to prepare for, you know, any contingency if there was even a 1% chance that Al-Qaeda was going to attack. Given what happens in most zombie movies, you know, it's far worse than anything in terms of an Al-Qaeda attack. So even if it's just an infinitesimal 1/1000th or 1/100000th of a percent a chance of happening, since we apparently know from the zombie canon that the world will end, it's good to prepare and see what would happen.
What do you think, if there were zombies here now, what do you think they would make of Obama's stance on Libya and the way the world are getting involved with Libya?
Well, I think they would, you know, they would probably wonder whether or not Obama had thought it all the way through. They would be a little concerned about that, and that therefore might make his brain somewhat less appetizing to them. That's a possibility. You know, on the other hand, generally speaking, zombies are probably going to be anti-human-on-human combat because, again, that destroys the brain supply for them. They want a nice, you know, steady supply of human flesh. So presumably anything that causes humans to fight against humans, they're not going to be big fans of.
Have you ever written anything like this before?
No, this really was the first thing. I've kept a blog for about 8 or 9 years, and there have been times where I've, you know, written something sort of deadpan like this. But no, this was the first book-length effort that I did this, and it was actually very difficult when I started writing, because, as I quickly discovered, it is impossible to write about zombies without running into puns. I'm not a big pun guy, but I kept, you know, talking about, oh, yes, we need to flesh out these paradigms, or, you know, let's take a deeper cut at this, or a serious analytical bite, or what have you. And fortunately, my editor at Princeton gave me a very good piece of advice, which was to say that I had to write this the same way I would write any other piece of serious scholarship, which is I had to research it and do the appropriate footnotes and so forth. And once I made that recognition, it was actually much easier to write, and I think in the end probably much funnier.
Have you scared your students with this? Have they sort of re-looked at you with different eyes?
No, I've not run into that problem just yet. I think if anything, I scared myself with the research, which was to say that I was not a big zombie aficionado before I came up with the idea of writing this. So, of course, I had to do my research on this, and I had to watch all the zombie films. I have two small children, however, which meant that I didn't want to scare them, so I could only watch these zombie movies usually about after 10 p.m., after both of the children had gone to sleep, and indeed after my wife had turned in. So as a result, very often, I was, you know, for about a month, every night, late at night, I was watching a zombie movie. And, you know, you watch enough of these things, and they start to get to you.
It sounds to me as if there's going to be a new book now on the best zombie movie.
Well, I have to say, the best zombie movies, my favorite zombie movies, actually are British. I think by far and away my favorite zombie movie is actually 28 Days Later. And right close behind would be Shaun of the Dead.
How are your friends and family coping with you and this? I don't know how to describe it, this incredible piece of writing.
I'll take incredible in the positive sense of the word. I would say that my friends really thought this was a great idea. That you know, they would laugh whenever I would mention it to them. They would simply ask why I wasn't dealing with vampires as well. And of course, I deal with that in the book, which is to say that vampires are not nearly the kind of transgressive threat that that zombies represent. Vampires, indeed, based on literary tropes, you know, get co-opted into existing power structures. And you know, right now they clearly survive, thrive, and sometimes even glitter in the world's finest high schools. Zombies, on the other hand, not so much. As for my family, my wife, you know, to her to my everlasting thanks, dealt with this the same way she deals with all of my ideas, which is to say, you know, a kind of shrug and support. My father, on the other hand, thought it was a terrible idea, which made me know that this was the thing I had to do. My father is a great anti-predictor in terms of things that I should be doing career-wise, so when he thought this was a bad idea, I knew I had hit writing gold.
So you're still a rebel at that age that you're at now?
You know, one of the nice things about being a full professor is that, yes, you can finally, you know, embrace your inner rebel. So I have no problem whatsoever in writing something that, you know, causes people to occasionally, at least my colleagues, to feel somewhat uncomfortable. And in some ways, that's what we should be doing.
Are you proud of this piece?
I actually am proud of it, yes. I really did do the research for this book, and I know that sounds kind of silly, but in writing this book, I actually had to research a number of areas of international relations I had never thought about before, including the sort of global governance of infectious diseases, the international law regarding the transfer of dead bodies across borders, the political economy of natural disasters. So in the process of writing this, I actually learned a fair amount. I think I became a better international relations professor. And you know, the feedback I've heard from people who have assigned the book in courses suggests that it is actually serving its purpose, which is people, as a result of reading this, the students, wind up being more engaged. Now, when I presented this material, I've always been told at the end that the amount of undergrad questions, the undergraduates that ask questions, is always highest after this sort of zombie presentation.
So what would you want ordinary people who are going to go onto your website to find it, what would you want them to take from the book?
I would want them to take from the book the ways in which sort of the best theories of international politics think about the world. And again, because you don't even have to know that much about zombies to understand the book, to get a sense of the different ways in which we can think about how world politics works, so that when they're reading about what happens in Libya or what happens in Japan or what happens in Yemen, they will, you know, sort of think about what they've read and think, oh, okay, so realism probably explains what's going on here, or, oh, this sounds like a bureaucratic politics story, or clearly social constructivism is explaining what's going on here. And I think by at least having, you know, being armed with those theories, they, you know, are better prepared to understand what's going on in the world and indeed hopefully get a sense of what might be happening in the future.
So are you playing with their subconscious?
As I said, I'm trying to entertain them and, you know, while they're laughing, you know, their defenses are down, actually teach them something about international relations. It's
so
true.
So you're indoctrinating them?
It's a subversive thing, yes.
Wow.
I'm getting them to laugh and learn at the same time. It's a, you know, it's a very, very hideous plot I have.
So maybe you actually are the zombie that is working on these people.
I can neither confirm nor deny that. I've been accused of a lot of things writing this book. I just presented this material at an academic conference, and one of the discussants, in fact, accused me of diverting international relations scholarship from the real threat, which is cyborgs and machines, and so therefore I must be a Cylon.
A Cylon.
From Battlestar Galactica, yes.
Fantastic. That's incredible. Daniel, how can they find this amazing thing called The Theories of International Politics and Zombies? How can they find it?
It is available at amazon.co.uk, and it's also available from Princeton University Press. So it's been out for a few months, and please order it and take a read. It's not a long book. It's a very good airplane read, frankly.
Do we know if it's out in the galaxy?
I beg your pardon?
Do we know if it's out in the galaxy, if anyone's reading it on other planets?
I don't know. I would have to assume so. Anyone who would presumably be able to monitor Earth would be able to download this kind of book. And there's also an audio version that's available. So presumably, at a minimum, they've managed to download and hear that.
Daniel Bresner, I wouldn't have missed this interview for the world.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.